show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking around on this Tuesday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with the program. Utilize your text device. Coming up in about an hour, former State Senator Dick Brubaker, friend of the program. And then we'll wind it all up with the official Democrat response of the Jeff Poore Show. My buddy Parker Griffith will be with us, so please stay tuned for that. But joining us now, another friend of the program, always a pleasure to have him on. I got to know him really well back in my Huntsville days, but he's with us, State Senator Arthur Orr from Decatur on the line with us. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. Good to be with you. I hope the weather is more pleasant down there than it has been this morning up in the north part of the state.
Overcast and muggy, if that's your cup of tea, then come on down. We got a place for you here.
It's not that bad up here, but we're getting some rain, but it is going to start cooling off, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, football season, something's got to break this hot weather, as long as it's not hurricanes, so then we're going to be all right. Hey, Senator, let's start here. And, we used to talk about this a whole lot in the future of the ABC board, and maybe it was time for the state to not get out of the alcohol business, start winding down some of the duties and responsibilities of the alcohol beverage control board. But it looks, based on some of the reporting I've seen, $100 million for a new facility doesn't suggest that's going to be the trend at all, what they're pushing.
Well, here's what we have. We have one of the few state entities that actually makes money. And the question becomes, what are their expenses? In other words, their sales certainly have gone up over the last several years, and retailing and selling alcohol, licensing it, getting all those revenues off it, which are turned around and given to DHR, the Department of Human Resources, mental health, and other state agencies. But here's the problem. Okay, you know, you and I have talked about retail sales. We'll agree, you know, that we ought to get out. Why are we competing in the retail space against private businesses, which have gone up here in the last 10 years from around 500 private retailers to over 700? So the private sector is doing well, getting the product out there. So why does the state have almost 200 retail locations that we're pushing the same product, competing with private business? But you and I have talked about that. Let's move on to the wholesale or the operation side of ABC. Interestingly enough, Governor Youngkin up in Virginia just questioned the increased expenses with the Virginia ABC operations. And that's kind of a solid thing that you don't see here in Alabama. We continue to expend more on our operations in this warehouse that you bring up that could cost over $100 million. It's only for a lease. But, you know, whatever the cost of the warehouse is, whoever gets that sweetheart deal, the cost will be passed on to the ABC board and to the state to occupy that space. So I've asked for an investigation or a review of the expenses of ABC as to, are we, just because we got more money coming in, what are our costs, and are they going up where we're squeezing DHR and mental health and the recipients of those dollars coming in because we're living large and we're spending it on ourselves and we're not being run efficiently. So we'll get to the bottom of that and see where we are as far as the cost to the ABC and how they're spending their money.
Well, I was talking to Shane Stringer. He's a state representative down here about it. And he gets complaints about the wholesale side all the time, how, you know, the customer service isn't very good. What they order and then what you get are always two different things. That there's some problems there, that while the state's making money, and it's easy to make money, I suppose, when you have a monopoly, but they're not executing on that side as well either. And maybe this is why they want to expand their operations. They need to do that. But there's a lot of structural problems there to deal with.
Oh, listen, you know, we're in the 21st century. I would predict, and I'm not for it. I wouldn't vote for it. If I'm in the legislature at the time, wouldn't support it. But I would predict, Jeff, you know, pot will be legal, marijuana, in the state of Alabama in 15 or 20 years for recreational purposes. At the rate we're going, you know, we did the medicinal this year. Well, we'll see that, you know, with doctors giving out prescriptions willy-nilly, just like they did with the opioids. It'll be pervasive, just like Delta 8 is already today. So my point is alcohol. So we allow beer and wine, you know, the different, of course, lower alcohol contents. I get it. But if you want to get drunk, you and I know, you can do it on a case of beer. You can do it on a bottle or two of wine. Same thing with liquor. But why are we treating liquor differently? It's all the legacy system. And quite frankly, I think the whole thing ought to be blown up. But what will happen is the opponents will quickly point to the state of Washington, which did it 10, 15, 20 years ago, absolutely made a mess of it. Prices did go up substantially. They got out of the retail and the wholesale at the same time. Private wholesalers came in, made a mint. It was just poorly structured, and it was a mess. So, you know, if we're going to, you know, we ought to look at it, getting out of the wholesale, because the representative is correct. They play games. You know, these stores will get a special product, but you won't over there because you're not my buddy. I mean, they play those kind of games at the central office. So that I've heard from retailers around the state, product delivery is spotty sometimes. So, it can be done. We can be modernized, but the legacy system and those that have a vested interest, i.e. via financially, want to keep that system in place. And unfortunately, unless the people want a different system, I'm afraid we'll be looking at more of the same in the years ahead.
Senator, I want to transition to your role as the ETF chairman. And I told your counterpart, Senator Albright, this, this last session, the first session, I really, really paid real close attention to what you guys do in the Senate. And you know, for the first time, I realized the budget chairman in each, more so the Senate, I don't know about the House so much, but y'all almost function as goalies, right? Like, it's not that you do have a great amount of power where you can kind of decide and steer funds, and that's just by virtue of the job, but a lot of your duties, it seems like to me, is just telling people no, like, we're not going to do this, like, we're trying to be disciplined and responsible. And we really saw that come to light, I think, this last session with the surpluses and trying to preserve some of that, put it in rainy day accounts or whatever. But step back from that for a moment and tell me, you know, you look at the way the state's spending money right now, ABC, we can talk about the prisons, we can talk about it seems like there's contradicting messages from what you guys are trying to do as budget chairman versus sort of what the direction the executive is going.
Well, some of that is beyond their control. I do have a lot of questions about the prisons and the contractors that were hired to give us the cost estimate early on, and then the explosion of cost. I fear that there's, you know, not been good management. And again, I don't directly blame the executive for that. I think a lot of it's even beyond that in the contractor level, where they know they've got the state on the hook and they're using their position to make a very, very extensive and probably excess profit. But nonetheless, we do have to, you know, say no sometimes, and some, you know, we'd like to say yes to everything. But as revenues trend down, Jeff, and they're going to, and we're already seeing that, the ability to say no is going to become more and more crucial, because we only have so much money. And that's what people, you know, have to understand. Washington can seriously, they just print more money. And that's the reason we have this $30+ trillion operating deficit. We don't have that in Montgomery because we do have to say no. And that's the reason I, you know, think we ought to have a balanced budget amendment at the federal level, because they don't have the spine and discipline to say no. Be they Republican, be they Democrat, one may spend a little bit more than the other, but they all love to spend money because they have nothing other than their collective consciences to restrain them.
Well, then how do you get, how do you get some of the spending under control when we're told the price is going to be $630 million, and next thing you know, in just a short matter of months, it's $900 million and approaching $1 billion. I feel like you got to blow through that special session in 2021, the money allocated for those prisons. And there's a bunch of other places. This is all, on the general fund side, but I'm sure there's some in the education budget where you have the same problems. That it just, these estimates are being lowballed, it seems like, and then you turn it around, and then next thing you know, look at you know, be it inflation or be it just this construction management thing we're doing with these state contracts, it does seem like that is becoming a more of a regular thing.
Well, we've all seen the explosion in cost of construction here in the last 3 or 4 years, you know, going back pre-COVID versus COVID years and then post-COVID. But I lay a lot of the responsibility at the construction manager, and I won't mention the firm's name, but I seriously question the pricing that they gave us, the estimates that they gave us, and how they've been handling and managing this project, and have told the executive branch leadership the same. I think they ought to be held accountable, or at least reviewed and discerned whether there was some negligence there that they ought to be held financially accountable.
Joined by State Senator Arthur Orr here on the program. Let's talk about what's going on at the University of Alabama. I saw your comments up on 1819 News. Initially, I saw your tweet about this, but, the DEI critical race theory curriculum at our institutions of higher learning. Effort, I think, Ed Oliver from Tallapoosa County wants to just ban it outright, but, You're suggesting the financial approach, which I think a lot of people, especially from your power to purse spring perspective, might be a better way to go.
Well, I think we're talking about two things, and the representative has been most patient. The House has passed the critical race theory legislation before. It's gotten bogged down in the Senate, and it's past time that we pass that legislation. And I would urge your viewers to let your listeners to let your legislators know of your support for the CRT legislation and tell them to pass it. And we need to get that done in 2024. And that takes us to the DEI debate. We spend millions and millions of dollars in public Alabama universities across the state on DEI initiatives, and we pay for positions, deans, vice presidents, et cetera, across the state for this. And I see nothing but division. Instead of bringing us together or focusing on all students, be they black, be they white, be they brown, focusing on student success, Jeff, and that's where we ought to be focusing our efforts, not this divisive mentality that comes with CRT and DEI, and that these leaders go to these conferences, they get ideas from other campuses, they come back to their home campus, and then how can we better drive wedges based on skin color? And I felt, it would behoove our country. I thought we were trying to get away from that. I saw just yesterday in a magazine, sitting on an airplane yesterday, a quote from John Roberts out of the recent case regarding Harvard and North Carolina and admissions. And Chief Justice Roberts said, many universities have for too long concluded wrongly that the touchstone of an individual's identity is not challenges bested, skills built, or lessons learned, but the color of their skin. And, you know, I see it as Marxist, this all this division, you know, that's been dredged up here, particularly in the last 3 or 4 years, all based on race. We need to help all students succeed and all individuals succeed and move forward as a country, as a melting pot and not a tossed salad of a country, because I don't think we survive the other way. And we've got crackpots and idiots like the one in Jacksonville. But we've got them on all sides doing crazy things and just awful, repugnant things based on race. But as a society, if we keep driving those divisions, we may see more of that. I don't know, and I certainly hope not. But we need to come together as a people and move forward.
I mean, what is the quality of the education or whatever? I guess we all want diversity, and I don't know about the equity part or inclusion seems fine to me, but what is the university getting out of all of these bloated sort of DEI departments? One former professor come tell me that there's like twice as many DEI employees at the University of Alabama now than there is in the history department. It just seems like our priorities have gotten way, way skewed.
Absolutely, and we're getting nothing for it. There was a study done. It came out here in the last couple of months. I think it was a Claremont Institute. And it analyzed Alabama's DEI initiatives, particularly at Auburn and Alabama. And I think at Alabama, there's no yield. Over the past 3 years, the minority student enrollment has not increased. But we spent millions on it. And so, you know, again, what about the poor, you know, white kid from the backwoods of Alabama, some rural county, first generation college student? We just leave him out or her out because of their skin color. Oh, sorry, we're not going to help you because you're the wrong color. I mean, we as a society, and maybe I'm being utopian or Pollyannish, but we've got to get past that and help all students succeed in Alabama and help them achieve their potential and not base it on skin color. That's only going to divide us further, create resentment. We can move forward as a people and help everyone and not have these race-based initiatives that I think, you know, are not helpful in the long run.
Senator, got to leave it there, but you're always very kind to make time for us down here, and let's talk again soon.
Thank you so much, Jeff. Have a great day.
You do the same. State Senator Arthur Orr there. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Orr Show on FM Talk 106.5. Pretty soon I'm wondering.